when a profit and loss report momentarily clears away the fog of hype. From 8 p.m. in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. We're bouncing off a big day in tech stocks. Apple, after the markets closed yesterday, reported profits for its last quarter. Earnings were way up, sales way up, both by double digits. Then the stock was way down, down 6% in pre-market trading at the moment. Here to run it all down with us is Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman. Morning, Mitchell.
Hi, David.
I see here Apple's reported profit up 38%, iPhone sales up 35%, and investors bid its stock down. What's going on?
Look, you know, you have Apple doing phenomenally well by any measure. You know, as you said, the sales of iPhones up by double digits, sales really strong in China specifically. A company this big, you just don't see that kind of growth normally. And with Apple, you just keep seeing it quarter after quarter. But investment analysts make predictions, and Apple didn't meet them this time. They wanted 50 million iPhones. Apple only sold 47.5. So then the analysts worry, you know, could the iPhone juggernaut be peaking? Maybe it's losing momentum.
All right, the game of expectations. Now, how does all this compare to Yahoo and Microsoft? They also revealed not profits but losses in their most recent quarter.
Right, and for different reasons. You know, Yahoo is supposedly in turnaround mode. The company did increase its revenue. It sold more advertising. It boosted its footprint in video and mobile, and those are really hot areas for growth. But acquiring all that internet traffic increased Yahoo's costs, and so it lost money overall. Microsoft lost a lot of money because of a $7.5 billion accounting charge. That's for buying Nokia, which has been a mess. There was also some weakness in Windows and Office, but strength in the cloud and Xbox, and the Investorati, the echo chamber, seems to have given the company a pass for all that.
All right, Mitchell, thank you. The negotiations for a new trade arrangement called the Trans-Pacific Partnership are not over. Congress streamlined President Obama's authority to negotiate, but it's not even close to a done deal. Another round of talks between U.S. and trade representatives from Asian nations is slated for next week, and one topic on the agenda is food. And according to leaked documents obtained by Politico, the European Union is annoyed. Marketplace's Mark Garrison has more.
Sometimes politics means waving a hunk of cheese at a congressional hearing.
This is my favorite cheese. It's Wisconsin Gouda.
That's Wisconsin Congressman Paul Ryan earlier this year in a trade hearing. It's part of an ongoing battle between the U.S. and EU. It's very good at protecting food names, like when it awarded Gouda Holland a geographical indication, just like champagne. That's a big deal for food makers.
They get very upset when firms elsewhere use that name to identify the product.
Peterson Institute senior fellow Gary Huffbauer says it serves as a barrier to American competitors.
They don't want others crowding into what they regard as their market, and that's what's at stake.
And that brings us to the trade deal with Asia. American food makers want to sell more food there and don't want to be told what to label their products, which is why high-paid lobbyists and politicians are pumping cheese and sausage. The fight's just getting started. I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
Today, we'll get a snapshot of America's real estate market. Sales of used houses, condos, co-ops, which closed in June. Sales for the first part of this year are the highest since 2006, the last boom. For buyers in some warming real estate markets, it's back to crafting a strategic, if not manipulative, letter. Marketplace's Annie Baxter has the story.
The Havemeyer family was ready to plunk down a big chunk of change to score a four-bedroom house they recently saw listed. It was in the Boston area. Becca Shulman Havemeyer says they offered more than the list price, and they said they'd be willing to go yet higher.
So that we could beat out other people in a bidding war. That ended up not working.
It was something else they included with the offer that did the trick. Not Robert Plant, but a love letter.
When the listing for your home came up online, we fell in love and immediately told our parents.
Turns out the Havemeyers had done this before and kind of knew what would work.
I embedded some pictures in the letter, too, just of the kids and our family.
The seller later confirmed all that won her over. Potential homebuyers have used the love letter tactic for years in tight markets. But the letters may be more necessary as a way to get sellers' attention today, as demand for homes outstrips supply in many cities and sellers may have their pick of bids. Kat Weiss is a realtor in Durham, North Carolina. The inventory of homes for sale there is below the five-month supply considered a balanced market. Weiss says she regularly writes cover letters to accompany her clients' offers.
I want the seller to feel the humanness of the bid.
But realtors say some potential buyers need to be cautious not to spill their guts along with their ink.
Okay, let's see if I can. All right, here we go.
Even though the Havemeyers succeeded with their love letter, they didn't really like being on the receiving end when they recently sold their house in San Diego. Here's Will Havemeyer reading from a letter they got.
When we walked inside your unbelievably beautiful home, we both got that feeling we have been waiting for.
The Havemeyers say reading those words oddly weirded them out. It was still their house.
Hearing someone else talk about how they're going to live in it is hard to take.
But when words fail, money still talks. Those bidders did prevail, but largely because they were paying cash. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
And a daily deal site rather like Groupon in China ran an interesting one. Zhuhua Swan, part of e-commerce giant Alibaba, offered Chinese men 20,000 yuan, or about $800, to donate sperm, which is in short supply in some provinces. Quartz is reporting that 20,000 men snapped to attention and volunteered for the next step, a health exam. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.